And it is a good afternoon, and this is your Captain Joe. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. Your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair in the Gene Voss studio on the magical Isle of Vashon. Broadcasting to you live, unrehearsed, and unscripted every week on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band. And streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. And many thanks to everyone who contributed to the Voice of Vashon during our last fundraising activity, the shopping spree at the Thriftway Market. And in particular to those of Captain Joe's people who are always so generous to contribute to the Voice so that we can continue to broadcast about Coast Guard things and about nautical things and maritime things and military things and island things and hopefully, not hopefully, because I know we do it, make all of Captain Joe's people feel just a little bit better about themselves at the end of our half hour together and a little bit better about the world in which we live. So greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. I continue to include Singapore, although my Singapore family is now back in the States, back in CONUS, Continental United States, CONUS to military people, or CONUS, depending on your pronunciation. And we will hopefully be able to get together here soon, but I still deliver greetings to Singapore because I'm sure that they left behind some pieces of themselves. We always do in places where we have lived and worked and made a contribution to that particular place. And all the way around to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital and where I will be in a couple of weeks. And we'll be broadcasting live from there in 2 weeks from today. And on to the binnacle list. The binnacle list has a couple of changes in that some people are finally able to schedule surgery. My friend and colleague, Captain O'Brien Truman, who often engineers for me and is now scheduled for some pretty serious surgery to correct a pretty serious condition. And he is, as are all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, in the palm of my hand. I had a couple of other reports during the week of distressing news, none of which we're going to go into any detail except to remind everyone on the binnacle list that you follow the instructions of your medical practitioner so that you will leave the binnacle list in the manner approved by your captain from the captain's chair and not by the other way. The big news for this coming week is that the Coast Guard will be celebrating its birthday on the 4th of August. The service will be 232 years old. It was founded with the name the Revenue Cutter Service or the Revenue Marine by Alexander Hamilton, and the legislation was enacted which created that organization. And we continue today, 232 years later, doing many of the same things for which we were created. We were originally created to provide a customs enforcement service because much of the income from for the United States, the brand new republic, came from import duties or customs, which generated then a huge industry to evade those customs. And so the Coast Guard, then known as the Revenue Cutter Service, was created in 1790. And we deliver and we count our birthday from the 4th of August of 1790, 232 years ago. The word Revenue Cutter Service, the word cutter was a particular type of sailing vessel. They were relatively small. They were fast. They were relatively heavily armed for their size and did not have many people in the crew. And I look at the fleet today. We still, 232 years later, we still call them cutters. It depends only on the fact as to whether it has a permanent crew, whether it has a name. And so my first command was, first of all, had only a hull number, CG95318. but later was given the name Cape Newhagen. Then I was captain in the cutter Agassiz, named for the great American naturalist Agassiz. And then after that, I was captain, both XO and captain in the Coast Guard cutter Ingham, of which the next Ingham is now under construction. We've talked about that before. Then I was captain in the Coast Guard cutter Unimac, which was a former Navy seaplane tender. And then I was captain in the Coast Guard cutter Reliance and then the Coast Guard cutter Northwind. So long as the ship has a name and a permanently assigned crew, she remains today called a cutter. And the new icebreaker that's under or soon to be under construction, no steel has yet been cut, I understand, will still be called a Coast Guard cutter, USCGC, United States Coast Guard cutter. It's a wonderful tradition, and as I am a traditionalist, it pleases me to report that 232 years after the founding of my service, that we still call the ships that I was privileged to command cutters. And we carry on a number of other traditions that go back that far. For example, the personal identifying pennant, the personal signal that tells you and me and anybody else that looks up there that she is commanded by an officer holding the president's commission is the long coach whip pennant. And we continue that tradition today. That tradition comes to us from way far, far centuries ago, where the pennant that was flying at the masthead of sailing ships indicated that she was commanded by a person who held the monarch's commission. The birthday is particularly significant for us this year because we also have a new commandant, Admiral Fagan, and Admiral Fagan is the first female commandant that the Coast Guard has had. But even more significantly, she is the first female to command any one of the five military services. And we're very proud of that. And we are proud of Admiral Fagan. And I would be prouder only if I could report that she were a cutterman, as am I. But she was a specialist in the field of merchant marine safety. And she is indeed the senior merchant marine safety officer in the U.S. Coast Guard and probably in the world. It's a very specialized field that came into the Coast Guard as part of the World War II acquisitions that brought the Bureau of Marine Inspection and Navigation over from the Department of Commerce into the Coast Guard. That's another story for another time. In any case, all of us who are cuttermen or who wear any of the other insignia of our service, not only are wishing Admiral Fagan well, but we stand ready, as we always do, semper paratus, to support her as she not only takes care of the fleet, but in particular takes care of all of the 41,000 active duty, and I don't know how many in the reserve, but 41,000 of us on active duty right now that she is privileged to command. Today is Election Day, and it being Election Day, most of the elections are either special elections for special taxing districts, or they are primary elections. And I urge all hands to rescue your ballot from behind the radiator where it fell, if you haven't filled it in and sent it in, and deliver it. Washington State is an all mail-in ballot. There are no more polling places. I regret that enormously because I really enjoyed going to the polling place near Captain's Quarters down in Tahlequah, the south end of the magical Isle of Vashon. I always enjoyed going there and talking to the poll workers, thanking them for the work that they do because, and I remain convinced that the best way for us to vote is to continue to go to a polling place and actually fill out a ballot and put it into a box or a voting machine. Alas, in Washington, that is probably far astern of us, but I have full faith and confidence in the voting system in the state of Washington. And it is electronic in the sense that I can put my ballot in, and once it gets inserted into the system, I can track it. So I have full faith and confidence in the system as we have it here in Washington, and it is indeed an entirely either mail-in or drop it into a Dropbox system. So if you haven't voted yet, it is my wish, my hope, and my command from the captain's chair that you go ahead and do that. I have two things that I want to and I'm going to talk about, which are not on the very happy side, before I get into a couple of things which are more in keeping with my overall theme for this broadcast and for my life itself. The first one has to do with the ferry system. Now, those of you who do not live in Washington State are not the beneficiaries of the delights of the Washington State ferry system. Last week, we had a serious situation where one of the ferries that goes back and forth between Vashon and the mainland, West Seattle, elided. You all will remember that if a floating object has a contact with a fixed object, it is called an elision, not a collision. Collisions happen between two floating objects. Had an elision with the ferry dock, and in particular with one of the dolphins. Dolphins are vertical pilings that are driven into the water to help guide the ferry into the slip. The ferry Cathlamet slammed into one of the dolphins and then elided with another piece of the ferry dock and did significant damage to herself on the, what was, because she was going ahead, was on her port forward port side. There were at least two cars damaged. There were no people hurt, fortunately. But the damage to the boat is pretty significant. And she had to have hit that thing pretty hard. So the first thing that happened was that the Coast Guard from the sector commander, the Seattle sector commander, had a team down there right away. And they did drug and alcohol testing. And apparently, from the report that I've read, there were no problems so far as drugs and alcohol were concerned. However, this morning I got a report that the captain of Cathlamet has now resigned. So what does this tell us? It tells us a couple of things. First of all, that he may have been encouraged to resign either by himself, knowing that he was his license was at risk, which it certainly is, and or by the union that represents him, or possibly by the ferry system. We don't know the answer to that yet. And as is keeping with a great tradition from the ferry system, they tell the people that pay their way as little as they possibly can. At the same time today, ferry alerts started to arise, sort of like a steaming heap of pile. They started to arise, and they did not have a sweet and savory smell. And the first ones were to advise that because Cathlamet was gone and they brought in a replacement boat, and now the replacement boat is down, and so we're on to a one ferry schedule up on the north end until they can get the second one fixed. That means that everything is no schedule. You just go up there, you get on when you can. And in the meantime, on the south end, Chetsumoka started her life with us with a 2-degree starboard list, and I got hold of the ferry director at that time, had been a shipmate of mine years ago, and I said, George, I can tell you how to take that list off, or it's bothering the hell out of me to see her go back and forth with that very unseamanlike 2-degree list on her. Well, they got it off, of course, because they were able to do that. Anyway, Chetsumoka has now fallen behind. Now, this is a very short run. It's about 15 minutes. The currents are not all that bad. The winds are not all that bad. It's not a particularly difficult run. And somehow or other, she's managed to get herself behind 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And that will cascade during the day because she's the only boat on that particular run. So here we've got Chetsumoka on the south end running behind. The two-boat schedule for the North End is now down to a one-boat schedule serving three different ports. And so the whole system has fallen behind. The whole system that affects us here on the island. And we can only get onto the island and off the island by ferry or by private boat or by helicopter if we want to engage a helicopter. So I've got to come out and say this publicly and say two things publicly. The first one is, if I were the director of the ferry with all of these things happening and not having a plan to get them all under control, or having had a plan to begin with to make sure that they didn't happen in the first place, I would either be expected to be relieved by my boss or would proffer my resignation myself. Neither of those things have happened. The ferry director right now is a lady, and I mention that only because occasionally I get personally a little bit of flack about there not being enough women in various leadership and command positions in the military. And so I take this opportunity to point out that the director of the ferry system is a woman. The commandant of the Coast Guard is a woman. And there are a number of other very senior officers in the Coast Guard who are women, who are admirals. So far she's not resigned. So far she's not been fired. And so far the troubles with the ferry system continue to cascade. I like to say among island people who want to listen that I volunteer to command the ferry system for 6 months free. I already have a salary. And would then hand it back to the governor, a changed and different system. One of the things that certainly is not happening, and I say this without having any direct knowledge of it, but only intuitively do I believe it, based on a lot of experience with governmental organizations, that the senior people, and I'll give him his title, the port captain, the senior captain of all of the captains in the ferry system, the port captain, and the port engineer, the senior chief engineer, probably have not left their desks in Coleman Dock and gone out and ridden the ferries. If they have, they've not been riding any ferries that I'm on, because I would have expected that they would be walking up and down the lines of cars and talking to the people who pay their way. They would have been up on the bridges and observing the ship handling skills of the captains and of the mates. And I just don't think that those things are happening, because if they were, then we would be seeing some changes. Enough on the ferry system. My offer stands to work with them. I will say this, I am a frog. A frog is a ferry riders operations group, or I don't know exactly what the O stands for, but it's a group of people that were recruited to send in surveys. And periodically we get a survey from the ferry system, and I have one that is awaiting my attention this very minute. And this one says, Dear Frog Member, please, or Dear Frog, please fill out the form and tell us how we're doing. Well, I fill these forms out religiously and honestly, and I tell them that they're doing really badly. And I suspect that all of those frog reports go straight line right into the delete section of the computer, because you do them online. But I'm going to keep on trying, and this time I'm going to put in my offer to command the ferry system for 6 months free and see what we can do. The second thing that I want to talk about is the complexity of appliances today. I bought, not too long before Mary R. crossed her own bar, we had a failure of a relatively simple refrigerator known in nautical circles as a reefer. And so I bought a new reefer. It came from that brand that we've known and loved for, what, Kenmore's been, what, around 100 years, something like that. No longer does it have the integrity, however, that the Kenmore name carried for all of those years. So I bought this machine, had it installed, had it plumbed in so that it would deliver water and ice. And it did not go very long before I had to have a warranty call on it. Now, you have to understand that out here on the magical Isle of Vashon, people to take care of things like warranties are difficult to come by. And particularly in the Sears circuit and the Kenmore circuit. So I finally got somebody to come out. They did a warranty work on it. And it was disclosed to me at that time something that I should have realized, and that is that it has computers in it, has computer chips, and that one of those had failed. Well, right now, I have another failure of that same reefer, and it is now out of warranty, and so far, I've not been able to get anybody to come to the island to fix it. It has not failed completely. The freezer part works, and cold air wafts around, but it's still not working the way that it should. So I am registering my protest here about the whole subject of appliances, just as I register my protest about overcomplicating so many activities, including the business of going to sea. And that leads me to a quote that I just got for a, well, I'm going to save that one for the next time, because I want to talk about quickly something really nice that happened during the week. Last week I did I did my regular tours, my Sunday tour out at Point Robinson. And I opened up at 12 o'clock at high noon, eight bells of the forenoon watch. And I very quickly had the inside of the lighthouse was as many people as could comfortably fit, probably about 20, 22 people. One of the people that was there was a man who I had never met before, who newly arrived on the island and has started a program here on the Voice of Vashon called, I'll get the name here in just a minute. Anyway, I'm going to try to get him on because we had a really interesting discussion about a number of different things. But what was the high point of the day was that I had a little girl named Tatum. And Tatum was about 4 years old. And Tatum was one of those kids that you really like to have close aboard. She was articulate. She was engaged. She was interested. She was interesting. She was had many good questions. And one thing we did have to get sorted out on was you don't interrupt the captain, because when she had something that she wanted to contribute to the conversation, she would just dive right in. And so we had a little come to the captain talk about you don't interrupt the captain. What you do is you put your hand up. And so for the rest of the time, and I guess we spent maybe all of us together, maybe an hour and a half together, her little hands shot up into the air and she would have these great questions. So I tell you all of this because that interaction with her, along with the interaction with all of the wonderful people who were part of that, we went from lighthouses to a number of other subjects about life and liberty and how we live on the island and how people who don't live on the island think we should live on the island. All sorts of things like that came up. And also, what I was struck with, though, was that the people who were engaged together in this conversation, including these children, including my new friend Tatum of 4 years, no longer interrupting the captain, her little hand shooting up into the air. All of these people were themselves interested and interesting and wanted to talk about the good things that we have and that we are and that we can be and that we should be. I use the island as my metaphor, my training aid, for as examples for some of those things, because I make it no secret of the fact that I think that this is such a special place, and it's such a special place because the people who live here work really hard to take care of each other. And that, of course, is one of my overriding themes. It has been since I had my first command, and when I realized that what my whole life was going to be was to be one of accomplishing the mission and taking care of the people who were entrusted to me to carry out that mission. Those two points are mutually inclusive. One cannot happen without the other. And that when I failed at fulfilling all of those things, or both of those things, or any of those things, and I failed frequently, and sometimes I failed dramatically, and in particular in some of my personal relationships. When I failed at those things, I felt it very keenly, but never more keenly than I have in the last 2 years, because I did a time of introspection after Mary R. died. And I looked inside myself, and I'm telling you these things, first of all, because I always try to be honest with all of Captain Joe's people. And secondly, I want to use some of the things that I've not done well to maybe help some people look inside themselves, and maybe they will do better than I did, or maybe that I'm doing right now. So I went through a period of looking inside myself. And at the end of this time, in a couple of areas, I did not give myself particularly high marks. I could have done much better in my relationship, in particular with Mary R. And so what we do is that we climb back up into the captain's chair, and we try. And not always succeed because we're not perfect. And but we keep on trying. And in particular, do we keep on trying with the young people that are coming along behind us? I do not subscribe to the idea that the world is a piece of crap that we have failed and that we have destroyed. And now it's up to the next generations who are coming behind us to make it right. I don't subscribe to that. I don't talk like that. I don't believe it. And in fact, I go at it just the opposite. And we did a little bit of talking about this during this conversation that we had out in the lighthouse last Sunday. And my example for that is take a look at Puget Sound. Puget Sound is in much better condition now than it was 40, 50 years ago. Chesapeake Bay is the same. That's a part of the world that I come from originally. And when we do things like fuel large ships, now we put a boom around them so that even if a tiny bit is spilled, it doesn't get into the waterway. So I neither accept nor do I even talk about that we've done such a bad job and now it's up to these young people to come along behind us. What I am telling them is that it is now to you to do even better than what we did. And I extend that to how we take care of each other. So I had a couple of other things, but I got a little bit too long on the ferry system, and I do not ask for your forgiveness because it's my program. But I have indeed come to the end of the time far too quickly. And so once again, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And with that, this is your captain talking to Captain Joe's people. I am, as always, on station and watching properly.